I am not an actor. And I don't know much about what it's like to be one. I've never taken an acting class, and I couldn't tell you why Frances McDormand deserved the Best Actress Oscar this year instead of Meryl Streep. I don't understand the process of acting, but I love listening to actors talk about their life as an actor. I want to know what their auditions are like the words they use when texting their casting directors. And I want to know how they survive emotionally, physically, and spiritually when it takes, on average, 64 auditions before they get a part. I love hearing about the process of life that surrounds being an actor. And one place I go to learn more about the acting life is a podcast called The West Wing Weekly. Each week, this podcast talks about one specific episode of the TV show The West Wing. Now, that show hasn't been on the air in over a dozen years, but through the power of Netflix, anyone can rewatch this series as much as they want. The West Wing Weekly does a great job digging into the details of each show and reacting to them from a very 2018 point of view. It's a very fun podcast for anyone who's a fan of the show. But my favorite part of the whole podcast is when they interview an actor who appeared on the show. And they literally will interview anyone. They've spoken to actors who only had one scene on the show, as well as some of the main stars of the show, like Martin Sheen. Last November, they talked to an actor by the name of Clark Gregg, who had a minor recurring role on The West Wing. You might recognize him as FBI agent Michael Casper, but I know him better as another special agent named Philip Coulson, who is the non-superpowered star of all the Marvel comic book movies. Now, Clark Gregg is a guy who has lived the entire actor's life. He spent years selling hair accessories on the street while waiting for his career to take off, and he once pretended that he didn't know the horrible review that appeared in the newspaper so he wouldn't ruin a show's opening night party. During his interview on The West Wing Weekly, stories like that kept falling out of him. There's too many good stories tonight to mention, but there is one that jumped out at me, and it started with a table. Now, whether you are a fan of The West Wing or not, all of us have to admit that the caliber of actors on that show was amazing. Clark was honored to be with them on that show. He loved watching them work and seeing what each brought to their roles. But on a TV show, actors sometimes don't get to watch other actors film. Since scenes are filmed at different times and in different locations, the actors don't need to know what happened at the end of the show if they're only there at the beginning. But one thing Clark experienced on The West Wing was something called the table read. Before filming began, and before everyone headed off to do their own specific thing, the actors, writers, and directors gathered around the table to read and begin acting out the entire episode. every actor involved in that episode would be there, at that table. And everyone would see how their role fit into the wider story. Seeing the big picture and watching each other work made such an impact on Clark that when he finally became the star of his own TV show, he made sure that every actor would begin every episode by starting with a table read. And tonight, we sort of did the same thing. Every Maude Thursday, we hear these same verses from the Gospel according to John. The disciples are eating a meal with Jesus. Jesus washed their feet. Peter freaked out. And we're told to love one another. In our culture, washing each other's feet isn't a normal thing. But in Jesus' time, when hygiene was awful, roads were dusty and everyone wore open-toed shoes, washing feet before you entered someone's home was completely normal. The foot washer was usually a servant or a slave, the person on the lowest rung of the social ladder. Because that very act, the very act of washing someone else's feet, while necessary, was seen as totally dirty and demeaning. The host at a dinner party would offer to wash your feet, but they wouldn't actually do it. Yet Jesus, in the middle of this meal, does it. That's how we, as a church, traditionally choose to remember the night before Good Friday. By focusing on the story of Jesus doing something different, Jesus freaking out everyone in that room, and then ending the reading by telling all of us to love one another. But tonight, at the table read of our own, we expanded our experience of Scripture by including some of the verses we usually leave out. After Jesus washed their feet, he shocked everyone again by saying someone would betray him. Everyone in that room was curious, so they asked Jesus, who? But instead of name-dropping, Jesus gives a very cryptic answer, centered on a little piece of bread. And once Judas has this crumb in his hand, he flees into the night. It's only then, when Jesus finally says, love one another. Judas wasn't there to hear this word from Jesus. But everyone in that room knew that the love Jesus was talking about was deeply connected to who was there when Jesus washed their feet. When we expand the story, when we have our own table read, we see that Judas was in that room. Jesus didn't serve only his friends. He washed the feet of the one who broke his trust. Jesus, to the end, even loved the one who betrayed him. Now, most of us, I imagine, know what it's like to be betrayed. We know what it's like to hurt. We all carry with us stories, some we can articulate and others we can't, about the different ways we've hurt ourselves and each other. Being betrayed is a very human experience, and an experience Jesus knew well. Yet tonight, Jesus shows us. He even commands us to wash our betrayer's feet. And that's hard. And in certain situations, when we are under the threat of harm or violence, that command is impossible to do. So what can we do with this commandment to love and serve even the ones we know we can't? Well, one way, I think, to do that is first, we need a table. We need our own table read. A table read isn't something that can be done only by one person. A table read needs a community. When Clark Gregg gathered with the cast of The West Wing, everyone was there at the table. Every part of that community was needed to uncover and expose the rest of the story. Jesus, as we hear tonight, didn't give this command to only one person. Instead, he gave it to everyone in an open room. Each person gathered there is given by Jesus a responsibility to love one another. And since there's more than one person in that room, the entire community is called to love and serve too. Jesus' call is a call we cannot fulfill only on our own. We need all of us gathered around Jesus' table to help each of us love like he did. We need people who will take care of us when we are hurt, and who will love the one we cannot. And when we hurt others, we need this community to hold each of us accountable and to serve those we've hurt. Only when we are together can this community, this part of the body of Christ in God's beloved world, love and serve like Jesus did. The table we gather around tonight is a table meant for each of us, and is a table where our full story comes more into focus when we are a part of it. As individuals, we might not be able to love everyone. But together, as a community, we can love all. Amen.